The reading this morning is taken from the first book of Samuel, beginning at chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Excuse me. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel.
So today, the first of five, we're looking at listening. I don't know if you've ever heard, when you were younger maybe, your mom or your dad or someone say, "You never listen properly." My mum used to say that when I was a young lad, "You never listen properly." I didn't know what it was about. I obviously wasn't listening. But there we go. You never listen properly. Today's story is about a young lad who heard the voice of God and didn't know it was God at first, but was listening. Now, all of us are made in the image of God, and he's given us our senses. Our senses are there, and each one we can use to worship God. So today is listening. Next week will be about touch. Experience the touch of God. How many people have felt the touch of God on their life? Healing. And then there's sight. What we see. We are witnesses to God's creation, to God's work. There's taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible is full of feasts, full of meals like the Passover that point to the work of God. You've got the Lord's Supper, of course, which we have a meal together to remember what Jesus did on the cross. And last of all, smell, the aroma that is pleasing to God. And we think of, for example, the perfume that was broken onto Jesus' feet and anointed him. So these are the different things, the different senses that we'll be going through over the next 5 weeks. And worship, as I say, is not one-dimensional. And quite often, we're quite content with one or two dimensions, but not to use all five. Some churches of different backgrounds, denominations, are quite good at the smells and bells. Have you ever heard that phrase, smells and bells? There are some churches where they go through the church and there's incense and whatever, and it just helps the senses. And it's quite interesting. As nonconformists, we're not used to that kind of service. But each sense, we can use our senses to worship God in different ways. So today, listening. Who finds it hard listening to God? Who finds it hard listening to God? It's very chaotic out there. It's a very noisy world. How many of us, when we pray, give God a shopping list? And dear God, I really want this, I want that, and please do this, please do that. And God's, if you think about interaction with God, God said, can I just say something, Jonathan? You're like, yap. Elisha does that to me, actually. When I talk too much, he does actually say, yap. People out there, one of the questions they ask Christians is, what does the voice of God sound like? And it's interesting because God speaks to us in various ways. And the question is, when was the last time that God spoke to you? One of the ways which is really interesting is to reflect on God's word and keep a journal. Get a little journal, some paper, and write down the thoughts that come into your head. Write down the scripture that pop into your mind. Write it down, because God reveals through scripture. If we go to the first slide then, Helen. One of the central prayers in Judaism is something called the Shema. Jews pray this every morning and every evening. And they pray this, "O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And it's taken from Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5. Notice it's a command. Listen. Shema. That's where the word Shimon or Simon means to listen. So that's one of Elisha's names, Simon, because it means to hear, to listen. So it's interesting that one of the central points of their prayers is listen, listen. It's a command in this case. So we come to a very famous part of Scripture about God speaking. And as I mentioned, God speaks to a child. He could have spoken to the priest. The priest is the person that God's meant to speak to. He doesn't. God speaks to the humble. He speaks to a child. And if we're honest, in not particularly just church, but generally, children are kind of sent out back, or we don't listen to children. They say, Mom, Dad, or Uncle, Aunt, or minister, or whoever, leader, I just want to tell you something. And so often it's, okay, yes, yes, yes. But if God is talking to children, we should be listening to children, shouldn't we, and teenagers? Because they could be bringing a word from the Lord. What God is saying could be spoken through them. So we talk about Hannah, his mum, to begin with. Now Hannah, Samuel's mum, couldn't have children at first. And her husband was married to another lady. The other lady had lots of children, but Hannah didn't. And year after year, she would go to the tabernacle and she would cry, Lord, give me a son. Give me a son. And guess what that God did? He listened and gave her a son. I want to tell you now, God is very good at listening. A lot better than me at listening to your prayers. And he's very gracious. She says, if I have a son, I will give my child back to God. And that's what she did. She had a son, she named him Samuel, and he went to live in the tabernacle. And this is where God calls out, Samuel. And he's thinking it's Eli. Notice that Samuel hears God's voice and thinks it's Eli. God's voice can actually sound like a human voice. I want to tell you about a miracle that happened, or something amazing that happened. I ran to work. I've probably told you this story, but I'll tell you again. I ran to work, and on the other Sheppey, there was this road where no cars go. Honestly, it's like a dead-end road. And there was a building on the corner, as I was going to run past this building, and the road that just goes around, it's a dead-end road. No one ever goes down there. And honestly, I heard the word, like a whisper, like, stop. And I stopped, and a car zoomed straight out. Had I not listened to that voice, I could have been killed or injured in a very bad way. The voice was just like a person's voice saying, stop. We often have a picture, don't we, of God speaking through clouds, lightning, thunder, you know, God... Ha ha, Jonathan, this is what you're going to do in a very Brian Blessed style voice. But we know from the story of Elijah that God speaks through the whisper. He doesn't have to speak with a booming voice. He speaks with a whisper. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Samuel in verse 7, he didn't know the Lord. Isn't that encouraging that God can speak to anyone at any time? We don't own, we cannot copyright this. Oh, and God only speaks to us here at Eastgate. God can speak to the person over in Morrison's working at the checkout. God can speak to the person in Card Factory or from the council. In fact, we know from testimonies across the world that in places where Christians are persecuted, there are people having an increase in dreams where God is speaking to them about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? God can reach parts no other place, no other person can give. It's like the old Carlsberg advert, isn't it? You know, reaches parts other drinks cannot reach. Well, God can reach anywhere, any person at any time. God will speak to anybody. We don't have to be a professor of theology or have all the right prayer books. You just need to give God time. Give time for God to speak. There's other ways that God speaks. If we put the next, I think it's the one after. Sorry, Helen, I've got it the wrong way around. Here's just a few ways that God speaks. Obviously, he speaks through Jesus. Jesus was the image of the invisible God. When you read your Bible and you read all about Jesus, his teaching, his ministry is from the very mouth of God, because he said that he is God. We know that Jesus appeared to Saul and he was on the road to Emmaus with his followers. And as I said, even today, Jesus appears to people. We then have the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus into your life, you invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to help you to grow and be like Christ. But the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a force. It's not electricity. It's someone in your life. That is Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Acts chapter 16, 6 to 10, Paul says about the man from Macedonia, Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. It was the Holy Spirit that said, no, I don't want you to do that. What about Acts 10, 19 to 20? Peter, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. It's hard to describe that in our daily walk with Christ. But how many of you have ever rung someone up because they've been on your mind? And you phone them up and said, do you know what? I was just thinking about you. And the person on the other end says, that's amazing, because I was just thinking about you too. That is the Spirit prompting you. You think it's my mind, my decision, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Of course, we have messengers, angels. We all know the Christmas story where Gabriel comes and talks to Mary on behalf of God. We have Gideon, Abraham, all spoken to by angelic beings with a message from God. And then there's a more human messenger, the prophet. Nathan, the prophet, was sent to King David because King David committed adultery, and Nathan went to David and told him that what he did was wrong. Jonah went to Nineveh to give a message from God. Maybe God has a message that you need to give to someone or some group. Last week we looked at Daniel helping the Babylonians king, the kings of Babylon, understand what God is saying. We also have signs. Gideon, for those who don't know the story, Gideon wanted to know if he should do a certain thing. So he said to God, I'm going to put a fleece on the floor. If I wake up and that's dry and the floor's wet, I know it's what you want. And God did that, and the next day he did the opposite. If that's wet but the ground's dry, I know that's what you want. I think we're very good at that, if I'm being honest. We like to just look for signs. Signs that just everything falls into place so that something spectacular happens. We step out in faith. Sometimes that's where we step out in faith. I'm going to decide to do this. I don't know. I feel it's right. I need to test it. And then a sign happens. You think, yes, I think that's from God. So we do need to test things. And then there's the other one, dreams and visions. Has anyone ever had a dream from God or a vision from God? It's powerful. You wake up, really, wow, what have I had in my, what's going on? And God reveals his pit, and that you can remember everything. I can't remember anything when I wake up. I just know I'm still tired. But some people, God gives a vision and a picture, and it's from God. Last of all, if we go back to one slide, I don't know if you can read this, I'll read it out to you. If you're looking for God's guidance about the future and you want to know God's good and perfect will, Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will." So yes, God does speak to anybody at any time, but if you want your walk with God to be as clear as possible, if you want to know what God wants you to do with your life, you need to get your house in order. It's no good me sinning and doing all the bad things in the world. I said, don't worry, I'm forgiven. God will speak to me. Well, it says in Romans, don't follow the patterns of the world. Let the Holy Spirit change you. And as we walk with God, it will become a lot clearer where God is directing you, what God is trying to say. And it always amazes me when people who say they're Christians justify their sinful behavior. They, instead of actually confronting it, they find a verse here out of context to try and justify their sin. And suddenly they're all experts in Greek and Hebrew, and they suddenly think, oh, the Greek word for this must mean that, simply because it justifies my sin. But they're not fooling God. They're not fooling God. So if you want to know what God is really wanting for your life, you need to follow Jesus. You need to walk in step with Christ. And last of all, the Bible, which is the obvious one, isn't it? Your book that you have in front of you or at home, the Bible, 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, written over 1,500 years, over 40 different authors, is inspired by the word of by God. It's God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, the Bible, God's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We live in a dark, chaotic world. God's word, God will speak through his word to you and reveal his mysteries to you. So there you go. There are many different ways that God speaks.